Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Welcome to African Aramean Scriptures. Tonight's feature is Abraham, the Aramean. The subject of Abraham being an Aramean has been ignored largely. However, we're beginning to explore Aramaic language, biblical Aramaic, Imperial Aramaic, and understand its relevance to the vernacular of the ancient Hebrews and ancient Arameans and the surrounding nations, Ashur, and the peoples who shared the language, Aramean, Aramaic, Canaanite, and Hebrew. I would consider them dialects of one common tongue, and Hebrew being the most recent development of the three dialects. So to help cement or establish that Aramaic and Aramean culture was the fountainhead from which Hebrew has sprung, we must understand that Abraham was an Aramean as well as a Obrew or Hebrew, and that his Hebrewness is a part of the Aramaic culture. Now, we'll begin by looking at Bereshit 24, verse 7. It's Genesis chapter 24, verse 7. And we read, you can follow along in your biblical text, or you can maybe find a link on onlinebiblegateway.com or Biblos, that's BIBLOS.COM. Okay, here we go. It says, Yod Heh Vav Heh, the Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and who spoke to me and swore to me, to your offspring I will give this land. Now, though the land where he is now isn't explicitly stated, and the land where he is residing, but in Genesis or Bereshit 24 verse 7, he is already living in the land of Canaan. How he said he was taken from his land, his kindred, that is his people, to the land where he is living at the time of this writing of discussion between him and Eleazar, his chief servant. Now, the land which you inherit is the land of Canaan. Now, often, the language of Canaan is interpreted as Hebrew. We'll get to that in another discussion. We'll talk about the tongue of Canaan and what that is, and we'll get into the difference between Canaanite and Hebrew and Aramaic in future discussion. But the point we're establishing is that the land that he is from, his people, is in Aram, Naharaim. It is not in what today we call Palestine, or today known as Judea, or the land of the Palestine, the Philistines, or the Canaanites. His land and his people lived in Haran, that is Padan Haran or Padan or Aram Naharaim. These are different names, regions where his people dominated. He said, these are my people. Now, three verses later, in verse 10 of the same chapter, he says, then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all sorts of choice gifts from his master. And he arose and went to Aram Naharaim, that is Mesopotamia, from the Greek, to the city of Nahor. Now we know Nahor means light, but now just back away from some of the etymology. Naharan Naharaim is named after his brother, Naharaim. You can see his brother's name, Nahar, in there. But anyway, this land is where Elazar is returning to, from which Abraham said, "My land, the land of my kindred." We've got the land of his kindred right here in the 10th verse of the 24th chapter. Aram Naharaim. That's the land of Abraham, and that is where his people dwell. They're Aramean. That's it. And now we know that Aram was a son of Shem. And we also know that Abraham's one of his great grandfathers was Ober, or people call Heber. And so we know that he is a genetic, literal Hebrew in every way. In other words, he crossed the Euphrates, and he is actually a descendant of the man known as, in the English tongue, Heber. But he is not the descendant of Aram. Aram is his uncle. He's kin to him. And so these are kinsmen to Abraham, and this and by Abraham's own admission, this is the place of his people and this is his land. Now we can move a little bit further back to the 12th chapter of Genesis in the first verse. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abraham," or we know it's literally Yahweh said to Abraham, "Go from your father's, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." There you go. Now this is when he was still living in Aram Naharaim. He was instructed by Yahweh to leave his country, or to leave his nation, or leave the land of his people. That's where he's supposed to leave. This was going to be his inheritance. But the Most High had another inheritance for him, greater than the inheritance of his biological father. And this took faith, amazing faith, to basically renounce the inheritance of his biological father on a quest for a new inheritance that he would have to go and see. And he had to go. And if people living in this land, he's going to already possess it. He's being instructed that this land will be his inheritance. Now, the 15th chapter, 7th verse of the same book, Bereshit, it says, it reads, "I am the Lord, I am Yahweh, who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess." Now, he was delivered from the land of Ur, Chaldean, and they resided in Haran, or Aram, or Padan Haram. Now, that is the land where they dwelt, and that's the land where his kindred went. And to distinguish Ur of the Chaldeans from being his country in Aram Naharaim, look at the verse, and look at the 24th verse. When he sends Elazar to his land, to his people, he doesn't send them to Ur, Chaldean. Not sent there. And when he got in the 12th chapter, when he's saying, "Leave your kindred," he didn't leave your people. He didn't have to leave Ur Kasdim to go directly to. He was saying that his land and his people was at Aram Naharaim. So we know where his people is, where his father had established an inheritance for him, and it is in the land between the two rivers. better known as commonly known today as Mesopotamia, closer on the western end of Mesopotamia. But most of it was controlled by the Arameans as Hebrews, that we know today as Hebrews, but they are both Hebrews and Arameans. Some of them are Hebrews, ones that crossed over. But it gets a little bit more complicated, but they're related. Okay, all the Arameans there are Hebrews, but we're establishing that they are Arameans primarily. Now, in the 13th chapter of a book called the Sefer HaYasher, commonly known in English vernacular as the Book of Jasher, which translates to English, it means the book, scroll, or record of the upright. In the 13th chapter, I'm going to start the first verse. It says, "And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, the wife of his son Abram, and all the souls of his household, and went with them from Ur-Kasdim to go to the land of Canaan. And when they came as far as the land of Haran, they remained there, for it was exceedingly good land for pasture, and of sufficient extent for those who accompanied them. And Abram remained in the land 3 years, and at the expiration of the 3 years, Yahweh appeared to Abraham and said to him, 'Arise now and take your wife and all belongs to you and go to the land of Canaan and remain there. And I will there be unto you for a power or Elohim, and I will bless you.' And Abraham rose and took his wife and all belongs to him, and he went to the land of Canaan as the Yahweh had told him. And Abraham was about 50 years old when he went from Haran." Now, it says specifically that he was supposed to go directly from the land of Ur straight to the land of Canaan. And when they got to Haran, they stayed. Now, we may say, well, he got the commandment to go in Ur, but he also said that, Abraham said the land of his ancestors was in Mount Naharaim, and that's where he sent for his people were, the land of his people. So, you must always remember this is where his inheritance was expected to come, not in Ur, because he had no people left in Ur. So his people were in Naharaim. Okay, and you can go to the archaic Canaanite, Aramaic, Hebrew, and Ge'ez a page on Facebook.com. And the note has been published where you can follow along with this this podcast, and you can see the maps associated with this discussion presentation rather. So and the maps will show you regions that we're discussing, and when we get later on we talk about the land where Jacob was living and his family at the time when he left Canaan to go to Padan Aram. So that's another name for the same place where Abram sent Eleazar. So there are two names associated with the same region. But we'll cover that. But we're going to move forward to Bereshit 25 verse 20. It says, "And Yitzhak was 40 years old when he took Rivka," that's Rebecca, "the daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Aramean, to be his wife." Specifically, this is the place. Just in case anybody is confused, they'll say, oh, well, it says Hadar Haram. Well, we'll look later. Well, we can look now, really. Because when he goes there, Laban is there at Padan Aram. And early in the 24th chapter, if you go back and look at that, Laban was in what it was called then, Aram Naharaim. Laban was there too. And it's still across the Euphrates. And the same people were there doing the same things. And that's the direction, that's where Yaqub was expected to go to find his kinfolk, basically. So, we're talking about the same place, two names, at least in the same region. It's not that big between the land between the river. So, whatever nuances and settlements, they're very small, it's the same region, basically. Okay? Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 5. That's right. Devarim chapter 26, verse 5. The Most High, Elohim of Yisrael, he instructed the people through his prophet, Nabiya, Moshe, ben Bar Amram. He says, and you will answer before Yahweh, your God, a wandering Aramean was my father, and he went down into Egypt. That's right. Yaqub was not living in Aram when he went there. He came from Gilead, which is in the land of Canaan, and he was described by Yahweh as being a wandering Aramean. That was interesting. Most people would probably consider him an Aramean upon his return from Aram. However, he's considered an Aramean based upon his journey or his pilgrimage to Aram. That is amazing. And even in the account, he didn't say your father was a wandering Hebrew. He is a Hebrew, but he's most importantly, he's an Aramean. And this is why one of the reasons why we call this program African Aramean Scriptures, because the ancient Hebrews have an Aramean heritage, right? So, another interesting thing, we're going to look at some of the relatives of the ancient Hebrews to connect a most notorious personality in Israelite literature, both the Book of Yasher and the Book of Bimidbar, Numbers. And this person's name was Balaam, however you want to pronounce it, Ben Beor. Some people, most in English vernacular, say Balaam, son of Beor. Okay. And here we go. I'm going to read a quote from back to Genesis 24 again. Get a lot of good information about Aram there. Genesis 24, verse 47 says, then I asked her, this is Eleazar speaking, whose daughter. And he said, whose daughter are you? She said, the daughter of Betuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. Now, we already got that when Eleazar goes to Aram Naharaim, he runs into a young maiden who is the daughter of Betuel. And this is a very interesting, for in terms of keeping up with the genealogy and keeping up with the relations of the Arameans whom Abraham is sending his servant Eleazar to connect with his people. Now, Bethuel is the son of both Nahor and Milcah. Now, Milcah was the daughter of Haran, Abraham and Nahor's oldest brother. He was burned in a capital punishment sentence by King Nimrod. And Abraham survived the capital punishment, and Nahor did not. And Haran's children were Lot, Milcah, and Sarai. Sarai is actually Abraham's niece, and that's the relation between Milcah, Sarai, and Lot. People wonder why Lot is such important for you. Lot is the nephew of Abraham. And from his deceased brother. And so he looked after his nephew, you know, and his niece, because he married her. And that's Sarai. All right, they can vote. Now, as soon, here's another verse. This is from Genesis chapter 29, verse 10. It reads, as soon as Jacob saw Rachel, that's Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother, brother. Now that the mother's brother is Rivka, because Rivka and Laban are siblings. Rivka married Yitzchak or Isaac, remember from Genesis 24, and Bethuel is their father. Okay. Now, how does this relate to Bilam? Again, we're getting there. We're just drawing a line. And we're going to go to the first verse of Genesis, chapter 29. Genesis 29, verse 1. Have y'all made it yet? Okay, gave it time. Okay. It says, then Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. Jacob said to them, my brothers, where do you come from? Now, he called them my brothers. Let's just stop right there. He journeyed to the people east. He came from Gilead, walked because he got jacked by his nephew Eliphaz. They were going to kill him. He survived. He showed up. He got to the people east. He said, my brothers, where do y'all come from? And they replied to him, we are from Haran. He's saying these people who are in Haran are his brothers. He said to them, do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? He's name dropping because he know his uncle Laban is alive and he's trying to find his people. He already know the people here. They kin to him. He in the land. He in the spot. He know these my people, but I'm just trying to find out, you know, how exactly are we kin. You know, he's like he just came to the, showed up at the family reunion. Came in town. Nobody recognized him because he hadn't seen prophets in a very long time. Jacob's about 65 years old at the time of this journey. You can find out in the book of Sefer Yashar, and you can learn about that. Okay. Now, remember, Laban is the grandson of Nahor. Remember, Laban's father is Bethuel, and Bethuel's father is Nahor, okay? Now, we're going to look at the book of Yashar, the book of Jasher, chapter 30, verse 18, to kind of more solidify and corroborate this genealogy that we already have to show that, you know, everything is valid, verifiable. It says, and in the fourth year of Jacob's residence in the house of Laban, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh visited Laban and remembered him on account of Jacob. Remember on account of Jacob. And sons were born to him. And in other words, Laban didn't have any children. Or if he had children, they had stopped being born. But we know that he didn't have any. Why you know? Because the text will tell us in a few moments. It says, and his firstborn was Beor. And his second was Alib. And the third was Horash. So Laban didn't have any children, at least any male children. Let's say that. We know because he had the two daughters. We know he had Rachel and Leah. But he didn't have any boys. So when Jacob got there, 4 years, 4 years after Jacob had been there, he gave birth to his first male children, which is what we are learning here. Now, Laban's sons' names were omitted from the Masoretic text of Bereshit, that is Genesis. So the connection that we were established between Balaam, Bar Beor, is obscured. However, there are only two Beors mentioned in the writings of the Israelites, and both Beors are Arameans. Only one is a Hebrew, and that is Beor, the father of Bela, Edomite king, referenced in Genesis chapter 36, verse 32, and 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 43. So, Balaam, son of Beor, Balaam, Bar, or Ben Beor, is related to Jacob or Jacob, either way, if you want to slice it. He's kin to him. If you want to look at the Aramean, both Arameans, the son of Laban, or the son, one of the sons of Esau. So either way, they can't do. Well, there would be no reason for the text to tell us that Balaam is the son of Beor, because Beor would be irrelevant and non-consequential. We're given Balaam's name as a frame of reference so we can understand that Balaam is a relative, or he's an Aramean, just like the Israelites are, the people who will become known as Israelites, especially at the time of Balaam's interaction with the Israelites. He, it's established that he's one of their relatives. Okay? That's the point. And for those people who have the Edomite, thing going, how they, Edomites are not Hebrews and all that kind of talk, or not Arameans. The Torah and the writings and whatnot do not agree with that. They do not teach that. Matter of fact, there's a prohibition against that kind of thinking and that kind of attitude. And it's in Deuteronomy 23, verse 7. It says, we may not detest an Edomite, for he is your brother. That's Deuteronomy 23, verse 7. So all that Edomite is the evil, whatever they're trying to say he is. And King David already beat the Amalekites, which is a tribe of Edomites that the Israelites had been going beefing with for a long time. And that's the same tribe that Haman, the enemy of the Israelite, of the Judeans, in the book of Hadassah or Esther, as an Amalekite, and that particular tribe was under a great injunction for us to have to fight and crush and defeat them, a mandate from Yahweh to defeat the Amalekites, and that's one tribe. But to just hate Edomites, like the way we've heard in recent times, is not based upon scriptures. Now, our last verse to establish the Arameans, I think we've driven that point home very firmly, is Genesis chapter 31, verses 21. It says, and Yaqub tricked Laban the Aramean by not telling him that he intended to flee. Fled with all that he had and arose and crossed the Euphrates and set his face toward the hill country of Gilead. That's it. He tricked his uncle, the Aramean, and he had to go because he had fulfilled his time in Padan Aram, and he had been, you know, and Laban, his uncle, had been, you know, he knew Laban wasn't going to let him go, basically. He was going to try to claim he breached contract or something and arrest him. Laban had the political clout and the means to do it. And so Yaqub, you know, his best chance of being able to return home to Gilead when it was to leave, you know, by stealth. That was the only way he was going to make it. And so he packed up all his possessions and they crossed the Euphrates. That's what he did. And he set his face toward the hill country. He found his way home. And we all know the fascinating journey he had by encountering his brother Esau and being caught by Laban and having his effects searched by his uncle. And ended up, he puts a curse on his wife, Rebecca, and she dies as a result of the curse that he inadvertently placed on her. Total mistake. He didn't know. But we've established it that Abraham and not only Abraham and Yaqub is an Aramean too. So, and Esau is an Aramean, and they're all considered Arameans at that time, primarily. And even later on in Deuteronomy, we saw that they were still being referred to by the Most High, Elohim, and Yisrael, as Arameans. So, are they Hebrews? Yes. Are they Arameans? Yes. And they're more the Aramean part was more apparently more important to as an identifier than the Hebrew adjective. Okay. So this concludes our presentation on Abraham the Aramean. Be sure to check out the note in the group African Aramean Scriptures and on the Archaic Canaanite Aramaic Hebrew and Ge'ez page on Facebook.com. Alright, y'all have a great week. Shavua Tov, and we'll see you again. Layla Tov. It is good night.